The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
Please keep that hymnal open to that hymn, if you would. It's hymn 589, if you've already closed the hymnal. And you see at the bottom of the left, or of the right-hand page, a collect. It's the collect of the Word. And I would like for us to pray that together. So let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 1, at the very beginning of this chapter, in verse 2, we hear these words that Isaiah, the prophet, is called to speak to the kings of Judah, the people of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Sons have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the ass its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly separated from Him. Help us, Lord, to hear. Enable us, O Lord, to have open ears, ears that hear and are attentive to your holy word, ears that are not plagued by the cares of life or the distractions all around us, or things that we think we want and need and must have. But rather, O Lord, let us cling to your word and cherish it as the one thing needful, the one thing most precious, the one thing most wonderful, the one thing that gives us forgiveness of sins and life eternal in Christ our Lord. Now, in today's reading from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah is speaking to a people that he described there at the beginning of his book of prophecy. The heavens are called to hear, the earth is called to hear, but God's people did not hear, they did not know, they did not understand, they had no knowledge, no real knowledge of the Lord their God, and they forsook his ways. They lived for their own pleasures. They went through the rituals of worship, but as Isaiah said in today's reading, their hearts were far from him. They drew near to him with their mouth. Oh Lord, oh God. They honored him with their lips, but again, their hearts were far away from him. It's as Jesus said at the end of the Sermon of the Mount, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do many mighty works in your name? And Jesus said that he would say to them, depart from me, you evildoers. Depart from me, because you did not know me. And again, that's the situation, that's the context in today's reading from Isaiah. So ignorant of the Word of God, so neglectful of the Word of God had the people become that Isaiah's vision had become to them like the words of a book that is sealed. Imagine you order a book and it comes to you in the cellophane wrapper. You have to open the wrapper before you can read it. But imagine that book is enclosed not only in a cellophane wrapper, but brown wrapping paper with strapping tape. You have to cut through the strapping tape and the wrapper and open up the cellophane before you can read the book. And imagine that the book is not only enclosed in cellophane and brown wrapping paper and strapping tape, but iron sheaves around it. How are you ever going to get into that book to read it? That's what the Word of God had become to His people, Judah. So neglectful had they become to that Word, of that Word, that God took that Word away from them. So, again, it was as if someone gave it to one who can read, and that person said, "Read it." He said, "I cannot read it, for it is sealed to me." And when they gave the book to one who could not read, saying, "Read this," he said, "I cannot read. It is nonsense to me. It is something that I cannot decipher. It is something that I cannot understand. I cannot comprehend. It is something that is illegible to me." That is how God's Word had become to the people Isaiah addresses. And yet they thought they knew the Lord. They thought God's Word was a non-essential, that it was optional, that they could take it or leave it. And so they went through the rituals of the temple, of sacrifice, and the prayers, and the psalms, and the hymns that they sang. But they only drew near to God with their mouth. "Lord, Lord, look what we're doing in your name." They only honored him with their lips, but their hearts were miles away. You know, it's been said, and you've all heard it, that a man's word is as good as his bond. Well, the people of Judah's word was worthless because their hearts were not in it. And they were lying and deceiving by taking the Lord's name on their lips. "Their fear of me is but a commandment taught by men," Isaiah goes on to say. They substitute the first commandment, or the summary of the first commandment. "You shall fear, love, and trust in God above all things. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." They thought that the mere temple ritual satisfied that commandment, even though their hearts were far from him. And the summary of the second table of the law, which Jesus says is similar to the first: "You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." That too had become optional to them. And so the alien in their midst, the widows, the orphans, those in need, they neglected and ignored, forgetting what the Lord said in Micah. "He has told you, the Lord has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." You see, God had redeemed his people out of bondage in Egypt. He had made them his own dear people at the Red Sea, and at Mount Sinai, he had given them his covenant. And as his redeemed people, what did the Lord require of him? To trust in him humbly and to love for others and to provide for others in their need. Otherwise, their religion was false. It was worthless because, as James writes, religion that is pure and undefiled before God is to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. They were stained by the world around them, the false values of the world, attaining wealth and status and comfort and leisure and luxury. They ignored their neighbor, and in doing so, they ignored the Lord their God. And so he said, I'm going to do wonderful things with this people. And the wonderful things he was talking about doing were not gracious, saving things. It was things that would entail judgment upon them. His chastisement. They would be going off to Babylon, a foreign pagan nation, for 70 years, and the temple that they so clung to, that they thought was so magnificent, was going to be destroyed. Their city of Jerusalem, their holy city, would likewise be destroyed. The wisdom of their wise men shall perish. The discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Those who have a false wisdom, those who have a false understanding shall come to nothing. Paul quotes this in 1 Corinthians and asks, where is the man who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through its own wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. And what they preached was Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. We can think that Jesus is optional. We can think that if we talk about God in some sort of generic sense, that you don't need to hear about Jesus. Or at least not the Jesus who humbles himself to the point of dying on a cross for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. Not the Jesus who experiences terrible agony and anguish of body and soul and heart and mind. As he faces the cross, as he faces God's condemnation for the sins of the world, to take those sins away from you. Without this Jesus, our hearts are far away from God because we enact, we erect, we establish a false religiosity of our own that ignores God's word of law that calls each of us to repentance and ignores God's word of grace through which the forgiveness of sins and the justification of Christ are applied to us. And we take hold of by faith. We may think that we can hide deep from the Lord our own counsel, our own secret wisdom, which is actually foolishness before God. We can think that our deeds, contrary to his law, are in the dark. We can say, as the Judeans said in Isaiah, who sees us? Who knows us? Surely God doesn't know us. But God tells them and tells us that by doing these things, by neglecting his word, by neglecting to live holy lives according to that word as it's taught in its truth and purity, we turn things upside down. We esteem and cling to that which God despises, the false wisdom of a fallen world. We are basically telling our Creator, our Potter, that He's the clay. We made Him. We, who are created, say to our Maker, He did not make me, or He has no claim upon me that I can live, that I have to live according to His ways. Or we say to God, He has no understanding. I am the wise one. I am the intelligent one. I am the one with understanding. I call the shots. I create myself, my own life, my own vision of what I should be. This is what we do if we neglect to hear the Word of God. We become a dry, desiccated field, void of all life. But God has given us His Word, and we pray that He would enable us to hallow His name as we hear that Word, as it's rightly taught and preached among us, and that by His grace and mercy, we would live holy lives according to that Word, lives of love for others, coming from the faith in God He has given us through the gospel of Christ crucified. Because here's the promise with which Isaiah concludes. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. Do you know what Jesus did during His earthly ministry? Who are numbered among those whom He healed, those whom He brought wholeness to? It's the deaf and the blind. These are messianic signs. These are the fulfillment of what Isaiah speaks about. It is in Christ Jesus and His Word that the deaf hear the words of forgiveness and salvation and life as the gospel is proclaimed. It is through that proclamation of the gospel that the eyes of the blind shall see. Even in the midst of their gloom and darkness, their eyes are opened, and they know the Lord, and they understand, and they reject all false wisdom of their own, and instead confess that Christ is their righteousness and their wisdom before God. And look again how Isaiah concludes. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult, shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The meek and the poor shall be blessed by the Lord. Does that bring anything to mind? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, the new heavens and the new earth of God's kingdom that Christ shall usher in. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be comforted. They shall receive good things from God. And it's all through the Word, as we know ourselves to be meek and lowly and nothing before God. But look what He does to us. He exalts us. He lifts us up. He gives us cause for joy in this great salvation. And every time we hear the gospel proclaimed, we know it is for me. Through this gospel, my sins are forgiven. Through this gospel, I know that God loves me. even though I disappoint him time and time again, but he does not feel that disappointment because it was all put on Jesus. And he is my wisdom before God. He is my righteousness. He is the Lord, my salvation. That's what we prayed when we talked about the Holy Scriptures being written for our learning, and we asked that the Lord would grant that we would hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. Why? For the very purpose for which the Scriptures were given, so that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. So to properly hear the Word, you got to hear about Jesus. You got to know it's about Jesus, your Savior. You got to know that He's the one who died for you, that His Word of life is what opens your ears and opens your eyes so that you can know God, so that you can understand, so that you can give Him the proper hearing that He deserves as He speaks to you the words of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.